From pretzels to art to Dungeons and Dragons, the Northwestern German Department hosted its 12th annual German Immersion Day on Saturday. The event was not exclusive to Northwestern, so students from UChicago, Northern Illinois University, and more made the trip to Evanston to participate.
I don't know, it's a fun day. This is the first time I've come to this, and I think it's a great opportunity for people to get out and practice and have a little bit of fun and meet some more people.
That was Stephanie Olson, an adult student at Harper College in Palatine. She came with a group of students that was led by Kim Yeager, one of the main organizers of the event. One of the other organizers was Ingrid Zeller, a professor of German instruction at Northwestern.
So it's been a really wonderful group of colleagues to work with, and they have great ideas. So if we choose a certain topic, generally there's somebody who says, okay, I want to work on that aspect of it, or I want to work on that aspect. So one person might choose something on commerce, on trade, or another person might want to do art.
She described how German professors from across Northern Illinois teamed up to make this event possible. For Zeller, it's important for students to learn about the language as well as culture.
I think languages are so important, and engaging with different cultures, I think, is something that is very important to us as language instructors, and I think it's another initiative that we have organized here that tries to promote that and tries to allow students to explore another culture.
One Northwestern student who helped organize the event echoed the same sentiment.
Yeah, it was 9 a.m. on a Saturday, but I wanted to experience this because I heard from a few people, mostly in Guam, but also like from professors that I should go, and it really gives, like, I wanted to go anyway because, you know, in German class, you learn about grammar and, you know, a lot of structure that you don't really get to experience, like, culture.
That was Weinberg freshman Aurelie Jacobo. She is a part of the German Undergraduate Advisory Board, GWAB, which is one way Northwestern students can get involved in language learning and immersion. The day-long event included workshops taught by expert professors about topics from art to food to womanhood during the medieval times. There was also an authentic German lunch complete with bratwurst and potato pancakes, medieval German music by the Schola Antiga, and games like Catan and chess.
Well, you know, it's always a matter of exposing students to different ideas and to different aspects of the culture, and I hope that was successful and that they also meet some new interesting people.
Students enjoyed different aspects of the day, and while not everyone could stay from 9 to 4, there was something for everyone to enjoy. Here's DePaul student Lucas Nehus.
I really liked the medieval and Renaissance music that we did.
The medieval theme encompassed legends, games, and symbols. Nearly every aspect of Immersion Day was in German, providing a great opportunity for students to hear and speak the language.
It just sounded fun, and it sounded like an opportunity to kind of immerse a little bit more in the language, but practice is good.
For members of GWAB and the professors involved in the event's planning and execution, one goal was to foster relationships between German students at different universities. They want to strengthen the bonds between different campuses through one of the things that connects them, German.
We created this in order to provide a forum for students to come together and to be engaged with topics that they don't necessarily see in the classroom.
For Zeller, her hard work leading up to the event paid off when she was able to see her students and others having fun.
It's wonderful to see students in this context being interested in participating and using German and having a good time. So.
While the event was certainly enjoyable, it also served as a way for students to get in touch with their culture and language or learn about a new one. Preparation for time abroad was one motivator for attendance, but other students were leaning further into something that they had grown up with. One of them was Mattia from Harper College.
I hope to be able to speak more German just to learn it. I'm going abroad in the summer for school, so I hope to be able to speak, just practice speaking more.
I mean, my parents are both from Germany, so It's like, I grew up speaking it. I guess it was something like I wanted to like keep doing.
There was no prerequisite for attendance, so while most students could speak at least a little German, everyone was welcome.
I would recommend any people, like any German speakers of any level, to like come to these kinds of things, because it's really should be accessible, and I think it's really meant for people of all levels.
For WNUR News, I'm Rachel Spears.
WAMU is one of Northwestern's oldest theater traditions. It was started in 1912 by the Women's Athletic Association, with the Men's Association joining the team later in 1929. These students collaborated to write musical skits that were not connected to a single plot. It was in 2013 that the show transitioned into being a full-length student musical. This year, though, WAMU looks a little different.
So the musical opens, this show, Arch Madness, opens with a big, like, 15-minute opening sequence that is completely separate from all of the four mini-musicals, with the exception of three characters introduced in this opening scene that become kind of our guides through each of the four stories, which are all different realities of Northwestern.
Evan Trotter-Wright is one of the music directors and the chair of the WAMU Executive Board. He goes on to say that this year's framework is brand new, but it harkens back to what WAMU originally was. Going back to a student-centric model has improved morale across the board at WAMU. The assistant director and choreographer, Eva Burkholder, expands on this.
I think this year that, like, there's just a lot of people feel more passionate about it. There feels like, it's Tommy.
Tommy Rapley is the director of the WAMU show and an acting professor at Northwestern.
So there are a little bit higher stakes in surrounding the show, as in, like, people really love it and people really want to see new work created on this scale and have it continue to be existing on this scale. So I think there's a lot of initiative and a lot of people are really excited to be a part of this tradition and keep it going.
After the Virginia Wadsworth Center pulled financial backing this year, it was the tradition of WAMU that allowed it to keep going.
We have a great alumni network that have really stepped up this year to help us in fundraising and helping us to make the show happen. But also what it's done is really made the space for the students to step up and take some leadership. And I think that's gonna be really beneficial for the future of WAMU as we rebuild.
Like Heather Headley came to one of our rehearsals, which she's the previous alumni and stuff. And she just talked about how much this show has like meant to her, and somebody like that who's, you know, big Broadway star who like comes back, it kind of like put things in perspective in that, like, no matter what happens, we have to keep the thing going.
That was Ethan Diaz. He's the events and business manager for WAMU, as well as Dominic in the show. With all of these shifts in funding resources, many have been wondering, what's next for WAMU? The first step is to become an official student organization.
Really, WAMU has been something that has been a student board before, a student group before, and we kind of drifted away from that in past years, and it's become something that's very faculty-oriented, and we're kind of trying to bring it back to that, like, student orientation, and really making it something that students feel excited about and want to participate.
As WAMU transitions into a more student-centric model, Burkholder and Diaz hope to involve more student designers as well.
I think there's a world in which there could be a lot more student involvement, and I think both the students involved and the other, like, faculty people and just, like, other outside people running WAMU would really see a benefit, and I think it would be, like, a mutually beneficial relationship. That's the word I was saying.
Getting designers on as early as possible in the same way that Stucco shows do, and, you know, like, grabbing a lighting designer the year before they have to produce create a lighting design for a show.
Everyone is excited for audiences to see how WAMU has changed.
The writing and the story has never really been the focus of WAMU for the student audience. And I think what they're going to see this year is like how exciting it can be when the writing is something the audience can relate to. And so our hope this year is that we have sort of a larger general Northwestern audience, because all of these stories are about Northwestern.
I think that just for audiences to hear some of the music that people have put out, some of it's just so incredible and like feels like a musical theater show that could be put on Broadway.
Oh, and be on the lookout for a very special guest star.
There is a character who is like the Arch, like the personification of the Arch, played by Professor Reeves Collins, who retired last year. And Reeves is just an absolute joy and delight, and he really shines in this role.
He's so excited to be there, which I think just makes everybody so happy, because everybody loves Reeves, and he feels so like blessed to be in that room, and we all feel so blessed to have him in that room.
The 94th annual WAMU show, Arch Madness, runs May 2nd to the 11th at Khan Auditorium. Tickets can be found online at www.wamushow.org. For WNUR News, I'm Asherana.
Ah, summer 2014. Fancy by Iggy Azalea, featuring Charlie XCX, loomed from car windows and in Gap stores nationwide.
First things first, I'm the realest. Realest. Drop this and let the whole world feel it.
Vine still had a few months left of being funny, and, of course, Charity went viral?
I was challenged by my niece Jordan. Sadly, we lost my Aunt Laura to ALS in 2010. Please go to ALSA.org to donate and learn more about the disease.
Oh my God!
The ice bucket challenge was simple, not to mention entertaining. Get drenched in ice water, donate to ALS, nominate someone else to do the same. It raised $115 million for the ALS Association, which led to $1 billion more in follow-on funding. All that because over 17 million people suddenly synced their passion to find a cure for a neurodegenerative disease that was first recognized almost 150 years prior. Right?
It lost its link directly to ALS, but I think that's kind of a good thing in some way, because it just became a way for people to raise some money for something they cared about. And so some people did it, but did it for some other charity.
So maybe not. That was Northwestern economics professor Dean Carlin. He was formerly the chief economist at the humanitarian aid organization USAID, and he teaches a class right now called Doing Good about the intersection of economics and charity. Just over a decade later, the ice buckets are back. This time for mental health. The new Ice Bucket Challenge was started by a group of students at the University of South Carolina. This time, it's called the Speak Your Mind Challenge for the nonprofit organization Active Minds. The website states that they aim to, quote, mobilize youth to transform mental health norms, unquote. But this time around, the ice buckets have been somewhat polarizing. Here's Savannah Knepp, a junior who majors in psychology and works in a psych lab.
If I'm being honest, I don't totally see much being gained from doing this challenge for mental health, just because I do think I'd never heard of ALS in the past before hearing of the challenge, so it really was bringing awareness for ALS versus with mental health. I do think that's been a really popular topic in recent years.
Carlin also considered the implications of mental health getting the attention that so many other issues also deserve.
We might need to heighten attention to mental health. I think there's lots of problems in the world that we need to heighten attention to. And so the part that I get angst on is mental health the one that is most under-attended to versus other issues?
But he said it ultimately isn't up to him to decide which problems in our world should get viral support.
So do I think it's bad if mental health gets more attention? No, I think that's great. If you ask me what should get more attention, I'd be like, yeah, I don't know.
Like many social justice-related trends online, the Speak Your Mind Challenge raises a question of whether the impact we make on the issue is bigger than just clicks or likes.
It does feel a little bit performative for people to post a video and say, yeah, I care about mental health. What are you actually doing beyond the screen?
But Carlin acknowledged that performativeness may not be so bad, as long as it gets people giving.
And it does suggest that, you know, some people might be giving for reasons that are more about the fad and the social camaraderie and whatnot. But you know what? Hey, if it gets them to donate, it's like, would I love a world in which everybody donates because they, like, thought hard about the theory of the problem and cared about others and maximized, of course, but that's not the way the world works.
You know that saying, charity starts at home? Knepp echoed this idea that we, as individuals, should consider how to make a personal impact by advocating within our communities rather than just becoming the next to join a trend.
I think oftentimes we come up with these large goals of we're going to cure this or save all these people, when in reality, the biggest differences are the ones you make at home.
But that's not to say raising awareness about mental health issues isn't important. Senior Evelyn Driscoll is the president of Northwestern's Active Minds chapter. She said participating in a trend like this can feel less daunting to those worried about being emotionally invasive.
One of the hard parts about mental health and stigma is that stigma kind of feeds on silence. And so I think what's cool about the Ice Bucket Challenge is it's kind of a way to break the silence about like mental health care and the need for it in the world without having to like share your own mental health experiences.
Driscoll thinks that as far as we've come with mental health destigmatization, we still have a way to go.
We really need an improvement in mental health care access. And like one aspect of that is the stigma and destigmatizing it at the social media level. But I think that ultimately I hope that this can raise awareness to make people realize and understand why mental health care access and mental health support and mental health research is imperative. As great as talking about it and like being aware of what you're experiencing and knowing about mental health is, and that is definitely like the education part is very important, but also having that access to the critical care that everyone deserves is also very important.
Some have criticized whether Active Minds should be the mental health charity that the campaign is directed toward. Others question whether people should channel the money toward another issue entirely. And like NUP, many wonder how much good any of this is actually doing. But ultimately, Carlin says he doesn't think there's any harm in the trend. We may not have the answers to those questions, but we also might not need them.
Because at the end of the day, I strongly suspect that these charities are underfunded, and getting them more money would be a good thing, and it is a space that does have strong evidence for it. I just don't know the mapping of like which charities are the most effective, but I would hate for that to actually cause hesitation for someone for giving.
There's a phenomenon related to giving called warm glow, which refers to the positive, perhaps warm and fuzzy, feeling we get when we give back, which often makes us want to give back more.
Sometimes giving to charity inspires people to then just give more to charities.
Maybe you're trying to spread that glow through mental health advocacy between family and friends. Or maybe you're using it to warm up after an ice water dousing. Perhaps you're getting that warm glow from giving to a different cause entirely. In any case, the world could use more do-gooding. Georgia Kerrigan, WNUR News.
Welcome to Concert Countdown, WNUR News' comprehensive guide to upcoming shows in the Evanston and Chicago area. From campus basements to the Airgun Ballroom and more, if you're looking to see some live music this weekend, you've come to the right place. Starting off local, the Transference Festival, hosted by WNUR, will take place on Wednesday, May 7th. The annual festival will have performers who represent the genres of WNUR. While no official performers have been announced yet, Transference Festival is known to have rock and indie artists while staying true to home and having some Chicagoland natives as well. Coming up in Chicago, we've narrowed our selection down to performances from St. John, Lucy Dacus, and Flo. Referred to as a philosopher inside of a rapper's body by Apple Music, St. John will be performing in Chicago tonight at the House of Blues. The artist is known for his collaboration with Beyonce on the 2019 song Brown Skin Girl, as well as his 2018 song Roses. Doors open at 5:30 tonight, and tickets are $63. Lucy Dacus will also be performing tonight at the Chicago Theater for her Forever is a Feeling tour. Dacus is known for her songs Night Shift and Ankles, as well as being a part of the group Boy Genius with Phoebe Bridgers and Julian Baker. Doors open tonight at 6:30 and tickets start at $42. And finally, tomorrow, girl group Flo will be hitting the stage in Chicago. The London-based group known for their song Cardboard Box will be performing at the Salt Shed on Saturday night. The critically acclaimed R&B group has previously served as openers for singer Kehlani on her Crash Tour. The show is scheduled to start at 8 p.m. and tickets are $32. That's all we've got for you this week. Tune in next Friday to find out more about concerts happening near you. For WNUR News, I'm Anza Simpson.